singathanda ndaza. Our Heavenly Father, our God, our Lord who is in heaven, we are thankful, Lord, to come before your holy throne even this morning, because we come, Father, with the knowledge revealed to us by your Holy Scripture, by the Spirit, that you are God, worthy of our praise, God that welcomes us when we come to him in prayer, now that we are your children. So siyakhuleka ngeNkulunkulu nomusa namanje kuseni. Shengathi Baba izwi lakho lingezwakala kithi. Shengathi Nkosi yami ukuzivula kwakho amehlo Nkosi ungaqhamuka njengenjabulo njengento ethokozisayo empilweni zethu. Ekuseni namanje Nkosi yami kulanga lakho elihle leSunday Heavenly Father lasondela khona sibantwana bakho. Mhlaba wonke Nkosi sisondela sithi siyabonga ukuvuka kwakho kwabafileyo nokuzivusa kunye nawe. Sikhumbula njalo lolu suku Baba, ngoba yilo elenza i-difference empilweni zethu elibonakalisayo Nkosi ukuba sibantwana bakho. Safa noKristu, savusa futhi noKristu. Siyabonga ke Nkosi nasekuseni Baba ukusibonakalisa Heavenly Father, ukusondelana nathi ngoba Nkosi uvumile ukuba sikhuleke sisondele kuwe, sicele futhi sibonge. Sazokubeka namanje le Nkosi kulena ncwadi. Sikhulekela Baba Nkosi yami izwi elizawuvela kuwe, i-understanding Nkosi ezawulethwa ngumoya wakho engcwele, egameni likaKristu Inkosi singathi amen. Ene singahlala phansi ke ebukhoneni beNkosi. Daniel chapter number 2. We are continuing on our study in the book of Daniel, brothers and sisters, looking at the life of Daniel, learning from the life of Daniel, in which we have seen that Daniel was a man pleasing to God. We have seen in chapter number 1, Daniel being a man determined to live for God, even in an ungodly world. So today, Bazalane, we're taking over from verse number 17 to number 23. And it reads as follows. I'm using the ESV again this morning. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwell with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what was asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter." May the good God bless the reading of his word. Last corner this morning, Bazalwane. First of all, I want to show you what should be an encouraging thing to us. Babylon, brothers and sisters, was not a town. Babylon is a country. Babylon was not a location like Olivet in size. Yes, in attitude and practice, we have seen that Babylon was actually the same, just as Nineveh was the same. But we have to know that Babylon was a country, not a city. Why am I saying so? Can you imagine a whole country having no one trusting in God? The whole country having no one calling upon the name of the true and living God. This country had four people who trusted in God. Not just a small city like Olivet. Not just a small city, it was a country. So I want you to put it in your mind that we are looking at a situation of a country without God, but four people who trusted in God. So where we just read Bazalwane today, Daniel 17 to 23, it's a prayer of Daniel. It's a prayer of praise. But we will look before this prayer of praise, the character of Daniel that we see in this chapter that we open today, in these verses that we have read. For our own benefit, for our own study, for our own encouragement, so that we see how Daniel makes prayer a prominent thing in his life. So today is about the centrality of prayer in an ungodly world. The importance of prayer when everybody thinks everything is going right, everything is going according to how they want it to go, however, when God is not among them. The importance of prayer on those who can still call upon the name of God. And looking then in the New Testament itself, when looking in the first letter to Timothy written by the Apostle Paul, we see Bazalwane prayer being presented to us as a unit. When we read Timothy chapter number 2, we see Bazalwane Guti, the Apostle Paul says there is what is called supplications. Under prayer, there is what is called supplications. What is supplications? Supplication is the kind of a prayer where the Christians pray for one another. It's called supplications. We pray for one another, especially when we ask God for protection. Secondly, we see in the same letter of the Apostle Paul what is called prayers. That is what is called making requests. It's simple. It's where we make requests unto God. It's when we remember that we serve a God whose ear is not deaf, that he may hear us. It's in the same line. The Apostle Paul says there's also what is called intercession. What is intercession? Intercession is the kind of a prayer where we pray for other people who are not able to pray for themselves. It is not because they can't speak. It is not because they don't have time to pray. It is because they don't have communication with God. They don't have access to God. What does that mean? They don't have a relationship with God. So they cannot pray for themselves. Even when they try to pray for themselves, God, the Bible tells us, he does not hear them unless it's a prayer of repentance. So we stand here, we intercess for them, we ask God to save them, we ask God to deliver them from sin. It's intercession. Because they cannot pray for themselves unless they come to God and say, God, we are sinners, we ask you to save us. Then there is this final one, under prayer, the same kind of prayer, but it's called praises. Praises is thanksgiving, brothers and sisters. It's when we are thankful of those things that God has done for us. We are so thankful of the things that we have received from God. We are so thankful for the things that God has done in the whole world that we're benefiting from. There are so many things there. That is why we should be those that give thanks to God at any time. The breath that we breathe is from God. He deserves our thankfulness for the breath that we breathe. How often do we then thank God for what he has done for us? Look at the sky. It's bright and beautiful. Who made it? So, and then siyabona, and then brothers and sisters, also in scripture, that prayer is presented to us as a command. That's number one. We need to know that prayer is a command. Prayer is a duty. Secondly, prayer is a privilege. We will see in this study that we're going to go through just now, prayer is a privilege. How is prayer a duty, brothers and sisters? Because God commanded it. I'm told 12 times in the New Testament, prayer is presented as a command. You get scriptures like that says, pray without ceasing. You get scriptures that says, ask and it shall be given to you. If you ask in accordance to His will, it shall be given to us. So, if prayer is a command, then we find then that a Christian, any individual or a church that does not pray is sinning before God. Because prayer is a command. Pray. It's a command. So if you're not doing it, whether as a church or whether as an individual at home, wherever you are, if you are not praying but you are a Christian, it's a sin. That's the Bible. That's what it says. So, brothers and sisters, we find with the prayer then, it's a privilege for us as Christians. We see where we just read, Bazalwane. It tells us that Daniel called for prayer. If you look at this, Bazalwane, there were other people who were so wise at the time. Magicians, King Nebuchadnezzar, and the whole thousands and thousands of people of Babylon. They could not pray to God. They did not have this as a privilege for them to pray. Why? They did not have a relationship with God. So, Bazalwane, we see then that prayer is supposed to be prominent in our lives. Funaba is something that is of a greater importance. That's something that is a bigger part of us as Christians. So, Bazalwane, a person can even study so much about prayer. But if a person does not apply prayer, it is useless. So we can talk and talk about prayer, but if you don't practice what we say, it is useless. So, the book of Daniel, chapter number 2, brothers, it starts by putting a foundation for us of the importance of prayer. When you read chapter number 2, we find few things before we get to verse number 17, where we find Daniel calling for prayer. God is laying a foundation first for us to see the importance of prayer. The first thing you see in chapter number 2 is the frustration of a world without God. We find a world without God so frustrated. We find people without God so confused. We find a world without answers because God is rejected. But it's a foundation for us to see what is it that they're going to do to get out of the trouble. We have to see. Are they going to do something to solve this problem? But we find that they couldn't do anything. Nebuchadnezzar, a king, was so frustrated. A king that could not sleep. A king that started to demand things that no one can deliver outside God. Just imagine somebody come to you and say, tell me what I dreamed last night and give me the interpretation. It's madness. You're expecting me to tell you what you dreamed last night and give you the interpretation. But that's what we found in chapter number 2. Then the second thing we find in chapter number 2, Bazalwane, something that we must open our eyes and see. We find the frustration of false religion. We see that false religion frustrates you and leaves you to death. False religion does not have solution for death. False religion does not have anyone or any way to deliver people from dying. They trusted in these gods that they had, but when it was time to call for answers, they did not have answers, but only to die in the wrath of Nebuchadnezzar. The third thing we find in chapter number 2, which is the foundation for us to look why is prayer becoming so important as a part of Daniel's life? We find also the frustration of false prophets. When their wisdom fails them, when their little gods fails them, they don't have anywhere to go. We see Inkosi Nebuchadnezzar calling and says, give me answers. They say, King, no one can give you any answer. No man among us today living can give you an answer. They're so frustrated. They know there is God, but they don't have access to God. But when it comes to this, there's one little truth about false prophets. After they've spoken so much lies, they are able to wrap the lies with some truth. They're saying to King Nebuchadnezzar, no man can give you an answer. And that is true. They say, number two, the answer you're looking for must come from God. That is true. So false prophets can speak some truth, but they wrap their lies with this little truth. But we find, Bazalanguti, even though they knew that no man can give an answer, the answer can come from God, but we find they don't have access to go to God to find these answers. And then it calls Daniel, Bazalane, to come now and be humbled before the king. We see a character of Daniel that we must learn from as Christians also. The Bible tells us that Daniel became humble and came to Antioch, the person in which the king chose, Ababulal. He comes to this guy humble and says, can I go and talk to the king so that I can have a little bit more time to call to the living God, the true God? He wants a little bit of time. But we are told that Daniel was humble. But humbleness is a key to Christian living. Humbleness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter number 5. What does that mean? It means that humbleness is required from Christians. So she told out Daniel, showing us a character worth of our attention as Christians, a humble man in times of need. Daniel acts, Bazalane, as if he knows the scripture that says, humble yourself and God shall lift you up. Daniel acts as if he knows the scripture that says, God gives favor to the humble and resists the proud. That is what we find first in the life of Daniel. But then we are introduced to verse number 17, which is 17 to 23, which is our key text for today. We see Daniel, Bazalwane, after this frustration, ekhona lapha in Babylon, after this frustration where there is no one that can give an answer, when people don't know where to go, they did not know who to call upon, we find Daniel, Bazalwane, calling first to his brothers. The Bible is telling us he went home to his friends, his companions. He comes to them and says, brothers, we need to call upon God together. We need to call upon God together. We need to call upon God for mercy. Daniel is making a call to prayer, brothers and sisters. When there is frustration in the world, where the world is expecting things from you that you cannot deliver, because Nebuchadnezzar was asking things that no one can deliver. When there's so much troubles and trial in this world, we don't know what to do. Daniel is pointing us to the answer. You need to call upon God. But Daniel can only call upon God, Bazana, because Daniel has access to God. Daniel is only having access to God, Bazana, because Daniel is a child of God. So if we are children of God, it is required from us to call upon God. It is required from us to make sure that prayer is the most important part of our lives. Our lives depend on it. We find even If we have money, if we are so rich, even if we are poor, it doesn't matter. David was rich, Solomon was rich, but they all called upon God. It is not because we come to God to ask. That is why, prayer itself has suffered a lot of misrepresentation. Prayer doesn't even have meaning anymore. There are those who only think to pray is to make requests. They only think to pray is to make requests. They think prayer is about them asking something. They cannot close their eyes and say something to God until they have something to ask from God. And you find that, Bazalanguti, this kind of a group or this kind of people professing to be Christians, they don't understand prayer, as we will see in the life of Daniel, as we actually see in the life of Daniel. Prayer is never about us making requests only. And these people, they don't understand prayer. That's why they don't understand praise. When they're talking about praise, they're talking about singing. I'm not saying we cannot praise God when we sing, but they think that if we say praise God, we mean sing. And they make the whole prayer time a time for singing. Even when they sing these songs, which are really not biblical, but these songs is able to take them to a state of ecstasy where they feel some good bumps or something, then they feel like they're praising God. But Bazalwane, when we come to the Bible, we realize that prayer is not that, and praising God is not that. Then you have this other kind of a group in the same class of professing Christians who only think that prayer is about displaying some power they have against the devil. Every time they will pray, they fight against the devil. They bind the devil. They lose the devil. They call for blessings. They shout on demons. They think prayer is about that. But the Bible doesn't tell us that prayer is that, but prayer is misrepresented. That is why, Sibazalwane, we are not now seeing the importance of why we must pray. We think we must make some noise. We think we must display some kind of a power. They claim to have power to bind and loose, and we know they don't have that power. It's a lie. But that's how prayer is going to be, Bazalwane, these days. And then you find this other group. They understand what is prayer. They understand how to pray, when to pray. They understand what to ask for, when to make requests. They understand when to praise God. They know there is a harmony between making requests and praising God. They know that prayer is one, but in different aspects. There's time to make requests, there's time to praise God. And this is what Daniel is all about. A man who knows when to make a request, a man who knows when to praise God. A man who is not convinced that praising God is about singing, but is so convinced that praising God is to be on your knees in prayer and declaring the goodness and greatness of God. That's what you see in the life of Daniel. If you read verse number 17, it tells us Daniel called for prayer. The prayer is not written, what Daniel prayed about. Only the praise is written. If you read again, it says, then Daniel said. That was after Daniel prayed. It's a prayer of praising God. But first, brother, we see the importance of being called to prayer. The importance of being together in prayer as brothers and sisters. The importance of doing things together. He calls to his brothers. Prayer, brother, is supposed to be a cooperative thing that we do together. And prayer, Bazalwane, is supposed to be something that you do also as an individual. My brother, my sister, you need someone to pray with. You need to pray to God. In other words, you need to make requests to God. It is not a sin to make requests to God. But when you think prayer is about making requests only, then you're getting out of hand. Then you're becoming one of those who have error and thinking is about making requests.
request.
So Daniel calls to his brothers, Bazalwan, and says, brothers, we need to call to God. Why are they calling to God? We need mercy. Why are they needing mercy, Bazalwan? Because the king is demanding an answer. Because the life that we live is demanding answers. Because the life that we live demands us to be strong. It demands us to know what is right from wrong. Daniel calls upon God. He depends on God. He knows there is a God in heaven. Can I ask maybe a question? What is your hope, brother and sister, when life seems to fail you? Where do you go? When your children begins to come against you in some way, where do you go? When your friends, the people that you spend so much time, you given your life to them, and they turning against you and becoming your enemies, where do you go? What is your hope? Especially in an ungodly world like this. That is what it was in the times of Daniel. Daniel was in Babylon. We know how terrible, how sinful was Babylon. But the question is, where do you go? Who do you call upon? What is your hope? Who do you trust? Bazalwan, we are reminded, we are asked again and again, even today, we must call upon God. It is a command that we must pray. It is also a duty to us to pray. It is also a privilege to us to be those who can pray. Why? The Chaldeans, the people who knew everything, the astronomers, the magicians, when they realized, Bazalwan, they did not have an answer. It was the end of their lives. They did not know what to do again. They were right and said, no one can give the answer. It is true, Daniel could not also give the answer. And in Ofundo, chapter number 1, you see, Daniel was blessed, Bazalwan, with a gift to interpret dreams. But Daniel could not give Nebuchadnezzar the answer. So the false prophet spoke the truth. So where do you go? And we see, Bazalwan, the importance of prayer, the centrality of prayer in the life of a believer. Prayer being the hope, prayer being the definition of our living for God in an ungodly world. If we say we are those who call upon God, those who trust on God, sibonakala ngokuthi sibe yibobani, yilaba abathandazayo. Daniel calls for prayer. Brothers, let's call upon God. He shows that he's confident in God. He shows that he knows only God can deliver them. He knows that God is the only hope, our rock and our salvation and our helper. He trusts on God. He depends on God. Do we trust in God? Do we depend on God? Do we call upon God? It's not a sin, like I said before, to call to God. We see in the life of Daniel, it is very important for Daniel to call upon God. It is very important for Daniel to call his brother, to call to them and tell, let us be a unity, let us be together, let us be brothers, even in prayer. Even if the whole world is rejecting God, if we can pray, God will give us the answer. And as we read, they prayed, they asked for mercy, and God answered the prayer of Daniel at night. God answered. But then we see a very striking and important thing, which is a part of Daniel, which is what we're learning also today. After Daniel has made request on God, we see Daniel showing us that making request goes together with praising God. Not any of the two is important than the other. It is equal in harmony. It's a unit. We see how Daniel does things from verse number 20. The Bible tells us, Daniel says, bless the name of God forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, Daniel is beginning to praise God. That's why verse number 23, it says, I give thanks and praise. This is thanksgiving to God. Daniel seems to understand that God deserves all our praises. If you read Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefit. And we know if you ability bless the Lord, the interpretation says, praise be to God, or give thanks to God, O my soul. But we find that, Bazaranguti, why is the psalmist saying, give thanks to God, my soul? We find when we read, it says, because God has forgiven you, my soul, all your iniquities. So we give praise to God because God has forgiven our iniquities. No one can forgive our iniquities. No one can make us be one with Christ but God. So that is why we praise God. We don't have to see big things, but for the fact that we are one with Christ, we praise God. Number two, he says, praise God because God heals all the diseases of the soul. In other words, he takes away all the sin and the weakness and the wickedness of our lives. That's why we praise God. That is Psalm 103. He says, praise God because he redeemed you from the pit. So there is still a pit that waits for people who are ungodly. But the psalmist says, while the pit was waiting for us, but God, from a pit he redeemed us. So we praise God for that. That's what the psalmist says. He says, he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. So the whole of your life, you live under a knowledge that God has crowned you with mercy. That also speaks of our salvation. But one most important thing, he says, the psalmist, he does not deal with us according to our sins. Praise be to God, hallelujah and amen. If God does not deal with us according to our sins, it doesn't mean we're going to sin all the time, but he does not deal with us according to our sins, because we know, Bazanaguti, our sin deserves death. Our sin deserves a penalty to die. But God looked and says, no. The Bible tells us, because of our sins, God gave with his own one and only begotten Son, so that the believing ones may have eternal life. So that the believing ones may be forever and ever with God. That's why we praise our God. Then we see Daniel Bazalwane also now from verse 20 praising God, showing that he understands who God is. Because if we praise God, it means we understand who God is. So Daniel comes and says in verse number 20 to 23. He praised God. Why? Because God is wise and powerful. He made all things through his wisdom. Even he says, even the wisdom that Daniel had depends on the wisdom of God. So your wisdom, your gift is nothing if it's outside God. Because God is wise and powerful. He mentions also when you carry on with the prayer, with this prayer of praise, this prayer of thanksgiving, that God has got power over all things. Power over the kingdoms. That is God. But I'm talking about four people praying when thousands and thousands of people enjoying their lives, thinking everything is fine, but death was waiting for them. They didn't have an answer for death. But only God delivered an answer to Daniel so that they don't die like the rest. And you find that because God is gracious, he actually saved Daniel and also saved the people that were supposed to die. So he says God is powerful above all things. He makes me think of the Apostle Paul says, who can resist his will? God is above all things. God is sovereign. He says, actually, God changes times and seasons. So this world, Bazalwane, and the way you're looking at it, it depends on God to change its time and season. So if God doesn't want this year that there must be summer, there will be no summer. If God doesn't want this year that there must be winter, there will be no winter. It is not because of some laws that things happen. But I find out what we've got. God, who is in charge, who's sovereign. Sovereign, what does it mean? He's in control, brothers and sisters, of all things. So that is why Daniel had This desire to call upon God. He was so convinced that there is God in heaven who's above all things. If I call upon him, he will deliver. But praise be to God of our fathers. That's what it says. I give you praise and thanksgiving. Lalela with what this psalmist says. Psalm 8, verse number 3. It's telling us that, Bazalwane, we don't have an excuse not to praise God. I'll start from one. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all earth. You have set your glory above heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to steal the enemy and the avenger. Number three, when I look at the heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care so much? Pazolan, the psalmist is reminding us the praises of God. He says, when I look at the heavens, the work of your hands, I look how much you do things, and you left all these things that you do, all these things that give you glory, you just left them. You came to be mindful of men and deliver men from sin. Send your son to die at the cross, that men may be one with God, that men may be united with God, that men may find peace with God. Praise God for that. Look at Psalm 19. Let me read it for you. Verse number one. Look at Psalm 19. Verse number one. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. So I don't have to see big things in my life before I praise God. When I wake up in the morning and I look up in the sky, see the birds flying, I know the heavens declares the glory of God. He deserves to be praised. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If that's the God we praise. So, Bazalwane, we see the importance of praising God. I may ask a question. What is our excuse? Why are we not praising God? Why are we not making requests to God? What is our excuse? I've heard a few excuses. Maybe you've got the same excuse, but God is going to deliver you from that. Some people say there is no time. They say there is no time to pray. They say there is no time to praise God. There is no time. We are busy. Brothers and sisters, can I ask a question? Can anyone be busy more than Jesus when he was on here on earth? The Bible tells us that, brothers and sisters, he had people queuing the whole day to his house and the whole night to his house, wanting to be healed from their diseases. But it tells us that Jesus, every time, find time to go to the mountain and pray. Jesus did find time to pray. There is time to pray. You do have 10 minutes in your lunch time to pray. You do have 1 hour in your whole day that you can just pray in that hour. You don't have to speak the whole hour. Study the Bible, pray, whatever you want to do. There is time, 20 minutes before you sleep, 20 minutes when you wake up in the morning, when you look at the sky, you see the sky declares the glory of God, then you think God left everything. The Bible says his son left his glory in heaven and he came down here. You do have a reason to praise God. What is our excuse not to pray? What is our excuse not to call upon God when we see the demand, when we see the greatness of sin? As in the life of Daniel, as the life was challenging Daniel, sin after sin, wickedness, nakedness that wants to kill people. People are dying around here. We preach, they are deaf. And we know only God can open their ears, but are we praying? What is our excuse? Some people say there is no place. We are so busy. This life, there is no place. Where I am, there is no place for me to go pray. I'm always busy. There is no place. But the same Jesus who was so busy went to the mountain there was a place for him, Nathanael was found praying under a tree. He took his time and sat under a tree as someone sitting under a tree, enjoying the shadow of the tree, but he prayed under the tree. The book of Acts tells us that Peter realized that he wanted to pray. He went to the top of the roof of the house and he prayed. So why are we thinking there is no time? There is time to pray. There is time to praise to God. Someone else maybe might think he needs or she needs experience. You need experience to pray. Or you need great words to pray. There are people who think they need great words to speak to God, or they need some experience. Bazalan, surely we need to be taught how to come to God. It is true. We need to be taught how to approach our God. We cannot just come to God as the world does. We cannot come to God without reverence, without fear, without knowing that we're talking to God. We must be taught these things. We don't come to God with vain words. People just want to speak. If you pass many churches now, when they pray, they just speak. Sometimes they don't even know what they're saying. But we don't come to God like that. We need to be taught. We know, Bazalana, we don't stand in the street corners like other people that we know. They stand in street corners and they pray. They praying for this corner of this section that so that salvation may happen. They stand. We don't stand in the street so that people may see us when we want to pray. We must learn these things. We don't do prayer walking. There's this other thing that they do, prayer walking. They walk around the streets and they walk everywhere. They do prayer walking. While they do this prayer walking, they talk to their friends, they answer cell phones. We don't do those things. We must be taught. We don't bind and loose the devil. We don't have such theology in the Bible. We must learn all these things. We don't walk around a place 7 times. Misinterpreting the Old Testament. All these things that are happening, brothers and sisters, is misrepresentation of prayer and is a violation to the Word of God. It is sin to take a privilege to pray and do those things because they are unbiblical. It's silly and it's nonsense. We must be taught how to come to God. But surely, Bazalwan, we don't need experience. That's my point. We don't need experience. A newborn baby Christian can pray to God. We don't need great words. Let me ask a question. There's another brother, a reformed faithful minister. He asked this question in his book. I'm going to ask the question. Does a beggar in the street, someone who's asking for food, does he need great words to ask for food from you? Or does he need to be humble? Does he not suppose to be humble and ask for food? Because a beggar that is humble and is asking for food and showing that he's hungry do get food. But a beggar that's starting to claim and make as if it's your fault that is in the street normally dies of starvation. So does a beggar need great ways, Bazalwa? No, we are beggars. We ask God, we ask Him. We must be humble coming before God. We must ask, we must praise Him. We don't need great words, we don't need experience. Just little babies, since you've got babies, just a little baby need great words to ask for food when he's hungry. Or he just cries, knowing that my mother or my father will deliver. We don't need great words. We need understanding. We need to know there is God in heaven, just as Daniel knew, Bazalwan. We don't need great words. We don't need experience. We do need an experience with God, but we don't need experience to pray. What is an experience with God? To be saved, to be one with God. Daniel was one with God. He had the right to call upon God. He had the right to give praises to God. As you look around, the air that you breathe, like I said, the things that we have, God deserves our praises, brothers and sisters. And a God that is praised is a God that is rejoicing in heaven, is a God that is lifted up. We must know, Bazalwane, what is our calling? What is the great important thing in this life? What is the center of our life. We must be those that pray. It is He who made the earth by His power. God made the earth by His power. He deserves all the glory. It is He who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding stretched out the heavens. That is God. He doesn't have to give me a car for me to praise Him. He is God, whether I have something and whether I have nothing. Daniel gives praises to God, reminding us, Bazana, today, that it is very important to know that God is waiting for our prayers that we may pray. So His ear is not deaf that He may hear us. Look what the disciple says, Luke chapter number 11. The disciples of Jesus came to Jesus. They says, teach us how to pray. It's very important for them to know how to pray. It's not really give us the words of what to say. Jesus gave them the pattern of what they must say in prayer, but their concern, their desire was to communicate with God. Teach us how we can communicate with God. Teach us what to not say to God, how we must say it to God. Teach us how we can give God the glory that He deserves. How can we praise Him? He says, call and says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your holy name be honored. That is our cry. May the holy name of God be made known. So, brothers and sisters, prayer should be a center of our lives. We cannot talk about it. We must practice it. And I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, we cannot practice prayer enough. We can pray so much, but it will never be enough. What am I trying to say? It's a journey that we go to. We need to call upon God. When there's a situation, we call upon God. When the people's ears are deaf, like here in Olivet, we must call upon God. It is God who must give us strength. It is God who must open the doors for us. It is God who must save the people. It is God who must keep us here. We praise God, He keeps us. He doesn't only keep us here, brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us that God saves us by His power, by His grace, through His own blood, through His own death. We add nothing. He saves us. But look what it says. He also keeps us for eternal glory. God Himself keeps us. Once He saves you, He keeps you. Not this dead theology that you hear, that He saves you and you lose your salvation and you come back and you get saved and you come back and you deliver and you come back. No, the Bible does not teach that. God saves you through His mighty and marvelous power. He is God. And He keeps us. That's why the Bible tells us that, behold, the old pass away, and behold, the new begins. You have a new life in you. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If God is able to do that. So God deserves our praise. We must come to Him in prayer. Father, we are helpless. We know we are wise because You have given us wisdom. But it doesn't stand unless we pray, unless we call upon the name of the Lord. Daniel called upon God. Can I make this a prayer to, a call to prayer, Bazala? Can I make this a call to prayer that we pray? Can I also make this a reminder that calling to prayer does not only mean to make requests, but give praise to our God? Daniel Bazalwane today reminds us the importance of prayer. Prayer must be a center of our life. The centrality of prayer in an ungodly world. The importance of prayer when people don't know who God is. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's pray.